read you an email that I didn't get it because I don't have an email, whatever, but that was an email that goes around. Yes, Daphne, what happened? Oh, you're telling them to show. I thought you're telling me to show. Okay. Anyway, an email going around ended up on my desk. I don't know how, but it ended up on my desk. Anyway, very interesting email. You know that I gave you a shiur a few times about the power of Moda Ani, getting up in the morning and thanking Hashem before you ask for anything, before you wash your hands, before you put your yarmulke on. Well, you don't put a yarmulke on, but you don't even have to put your yarmulke on. Before anything, you wake up, Moda Ani, right? Okay, listen to this. In the United States Convention of Neurologists, from all over the world, one of the main topics was the phenomenon of people fainting upon getting up from bed. Seems to be that some people, they get up and they jump out of bed and they faint. Or they just move too fast and they get very dizzy in the morning before they get up. So, there's a very famous professor, one of the speakers was Professor Linda McMarin of Great Britain. And she gave a lengthy speech regarding her study on this issue. And this is her conclusion. After many years of study and investigation on the subject, she came to the conclusion that the fainting is caused by the sharp transfer between laying down and standing up. Brilliant. I could have come up with that. I'm not a professor. Whoa. Okay. Professor McMarin said that it takes 12 seconds for the blood to flow from the feet to the brain. But when a person quickly stands up, upon waking up, the blood gets thrown to the brain too quickly and the result is fainting. She suggested that each person, even one that does not have a tendency to faint, upon waking up should sit on the bed and count slowly till 12 to avoid dizziness, weakness, and fainting. Her speech was rewarded with a loud applause and enthusiastic, I said the word with my list, feedbacks. Another professor, a Jewish religious man, asked permission to speak. He said, "By us, the Jews, there is an old tradition, thousands of years old, to say a prayer of thanks to the Creator of the world for meriting us to wake up healthy and whole. The prayer is said immediately upon waking up while one is still on the bed and sitting down. There are 12 words in this prayer. And if one regulates himself to say it slowly with concentration, it takes exactly a second a word, which is 12 seconds to say it. 12 words in 12 seconds. And then he got up and said the prayer slowly. Moda ani lefonecha. Melech Chai V'Kayom Shechazarta Bi Nishmasi B'Chemla Rabba Emunasecha. 12 words, 12 seconds. I thank thee, O living and eternal King, because thou hast graciously restored my soul to me. Great is thy faithfulness. The auditorium burst into a standing applause that roared throughout the auditorium. But this time, the applause was for the Creator of the world. Unbelievable. So, there's a halacha, we have a halacha to say Moda Ani. It takes 12 seconds, and therefore we don't faint when we wake up. Okay, so I think that's just a very fascinating. I wanted to start with that after scaring you last week with all my scary stories. I decided tonight to give you a break because next week is the 9 days. We're going to start again, and we're going to tonight talk about nice stories, good things, things to make you walk out happy. And one or two of the, other stories. Okay. Can't leave it all out. Anyway, I'm stealing a little bit from Rabbi Lam, a drop. I'm not stealing his whole share. But I just want to tell you, this is not from Rabbi Lam, actually, but part of what I'm going to say is from Rabbi Lam. So there's a question that's been nagging me for a very, very long time. And this week, somebody asked somebody else, and I heard the answer, and I found it to be absolutely amazing. And it's a question that many people ask, and many people have asked me. And the question is very simple. When did we get a Yetzer Hara? When Chava ate from the Eitz Hadas, right? We got a Yetzer Hara. Until then, everything was good. When she ate from the Eitz Hadas, the tree of knowledge, right? We got a Yetzer Hara. Question. If she didn't have a Yetzer Hara, how could she do an Avera? It's an amazing question. If she doesn't have a Yetzer Hara, how could she go against Hashem and eat from the tree? She didn't have a Yetzer Hara. The Yetzer Hara only came after she ate from the tree. So how did she eat from the tree? Hashem said not to eat from the tree. The only one that could get you to eat from the tree is who? The Yetzer Hara. So how did she eat from the tree? I'm sure all of you haven't slept because this has bothered you since you learned Bereishis. But it has bothered me very much. And Baruch Hashem, this past Shabbos, I heard an amazing answer. And the answer is like this, and it's very important. It's about this week's Parsha. It's about life. And the answer is like this. So the Zohar answers it, but I never understood what he answered like this. What he said, what the Zohar answers on this question is that before she ate from the tree, The Yetzer Hara was on the outside. It was on the outside. Once you ate from the tree, the Yetzer Hara became your conscience. So, on the outside, is somebody telling you, do this, do this, do this, do this? It's not so easy to say no, but it's you can say no. Your friend says, let's go to the movies. No, I don't want to go to the movies. Let's do this. No, I don't want to do this. But when your head tells you to go to the movies, your head tells you to do something wrong, it's very hard to fight with yourself. So what happened, what Desire says, what happened is before she ate from the tree, he was an outside her body. Once she ate from the tree, he became inside her body. But I don't understand what that means. Because the bottom line is that there was no Yetzirah. The Yetzirah wasn't there, so to say. So he answered like this, amazing. And it fits right into the pasuk. He answered that before she ate from the tree, there was Ra. The Satan was Ra. Pure, 100%, downright bad. Nothing good about it. Bad, pure bad, is not a Yetzirah. It's an amazing answer. It's a little deep. Pure bad is not a Yetzirah. Pure bad is me telling you, put your hand in that fire. I'm not crazy. I'm not putting my hand in that fire. So, it's not really Yetzirah. If I came to all of you in this room and said right now, here's a fire. I want everyone to line up and put your hand in that fire. Okay, some of you might do it anyway, but put your hand in that fire. Right? You're going to say, no. There's nothing to talk about. So that's not a bechira, whether you're going to do right or wrong. It's 100% bad. If I gave you something to eat, I said, come here, I got a plate of soup for you. Now this plate of chicken soup has been for 2.5 weeks sitting on my counter. You ever see a plate of soup after, you know, gets all that fat on top, and then it starts to smell, right? So I'm like, come on, take some of that soup. You're like, I can't even go near that soup. I can't taste it. So is that, am I Yetzirah? Is that a Yetzirah to you? It's not a Yetzirah. Because you're not even, you know, there's no question about what, there's nothing, there's no good mixed in there. I didn't flavor it and make it smell like it's good and then bring it to you. So before she ate from the tree, bad was totally bad. Therefore, it wasn't even a Yetzirah yet. It wasn't even a Yetzirah yet. So what happened? What happened was, in the bad came good. That's the Yetzirah. The Yetzirah is when it's 95% bad or 80% bad, but 20% good. When it's 60% good and it's 40% bad. They mixed together. When good and bad mix together, that's a Yetzirah because you don't have clarity. You're thinking, I'm talking to this boy and I'm waking him up for Shachris and I'm being Makarivim. So I think it's good, and maybe it's bad, right? Well, it's bad, and I have Facebook, and on Facebook I could reach all my friends, and I could be Makar of people who I went to seminary with, but then Rabbi Wallerstein said there's some bad stuff on that, and I know there is, and I don't know what to do, but there's good and there's bad, and that's the Yetzirah. That's the Yetzirah. But if I told you that there's a place on the internet that's 100% filth, dirt, bad, it's going to cause you death, blindness, you're not going there. That's not Yetzirah. You're not going there. So what happened is amazing. What happened, and it's in the Torah, word for word, listen to what the Torah tells you. The Torah says, he fooled her. He was Arum. He fooled her. He was totally bad, but he made it good. And once he made it good, and it was good and bad, she made the mistake. Because she came to him, it's every word in the pasuk, and now I understand. And now I understand the answer. Listen carefully, right? He says like this, Hayaram Mikal Chaisa. He was very, very brilliant. Bayomeli Isha, and he said, Lesaikum Mikal Eitzai God, you're not allowed to eat from any of these trees. But Tomeli Isha, Elanachash, so he was being all bad. You can't eat from any of these trees, right? She goes, No. You're allowed to eat from the trees. But with Priya Eitzai, Mishaikai God, but the tree in the middle of the Gan, that Hashem said, I'm not allowed to touch, I'm not allowed to eat, I'm not allowed to do anything. So the Nachash said, aha. So he pushed her into the tree and nothing happened. So he said, so if I took one girl up here in front of everybody and I put a fire over here and I said to this girl, put your hand in the fire. And she's like, no, I don't want to. I'm like, no, it's an alcohol fire. You know, the kind that they use when they dance by the weddings. And alcohol, don't try this at home. But for a little while, alcohol burns cold. right? Yeah, that's what they do, all these tricks in the circus. See the animals go through the fire, right? The fire is cold for a few minutes. Don't try it at home, but rubbing alcohol the first couple of seconds burns cold, right? So I'm like, listen, it's Rabbi Wallstein's trick. Go put your hand in the fire. Now this girl go puts her hand in the fire because she believes whatever I tell her. There's no one here like that, but if there was someone like that, right, she believes anything I tell her, so she puts her hand in the fire. Once she puts her hand in the fire, half this crowd is putting their hand in the fire. So when she told the Nachash, oh, you can't touch the tree, and he pushed her into the tree, and nothing happened, she said, oh, it's not 100% bad. There's some good in the tree. It doesn't kill you by touching it. So what does the Torah tell us? Listen to this. Hashem knows when you're going to eat from the tree, your eyes are going to open up. What happens when a person's eyes open up? You're going to be like God. What are you going to know? Tov v'ra. Good and bad. He's telling her, we can mix the two, but you'll be able to discern what is good and what is bad. And this is where she fell. In the beginning, when he first came to her, she said, it's all bad. You can't touch it. You're going to die. In the end, he mixed her up, good and bad. And all of a sudden, she saw that it was good. Ki toiv. The minute she saw that there was good in the bad, the minute you make your excuses, girls, that what you're doing bad, but there's something good in it, that I'm being makarev and I'm doing it for homework, and I'm, whatever your excuse is, whatever your answer is, the minute it becomes good in your eyes, the chitavu hulei nayim. It becomes a taiva. Becomes something you need to have. First he comes to you and he says, it's not so bad. Then once you step into it, I need to be online, I need to be on my phone, it becomes a habit, and then it becomes an addiction. So the Torah is telling you, in Bereishis, break it down to a science, you want to break it down to psychology, the Torah is telling you, first step is mixing you up and telling you that in the bad there's good, or in the good there's bad. First step. Then all of a sudden you're like, oh, it's good. There's some good in this. Right? Then once he said it's good, it becomes a taiva. Well, if it's good, then I want to do it. And I want to do it again. And I want to do it again. And I want to do it again. I want to be online for an hour, and then 2 hours, and 4 hours, and 6 hours. It all started from a good place because someone had to text you from the Jew Makarov that they can't get a hold of you on the phone. She doesn't have a phone thing or that. I can tell you a million different stories that come to my table. And then it becomes a taiva. And then the Nechmod. Oh, that's nice. Now this thing that you started off, I'm not sure, good or bad, all of a sudden it becomes Nechmod. But tikach mipirio, you're done. That's when she ate from the tree. So it was a total breakdown. So the answer to the question is that until she ate from the tree, she wasn't mixing up good and bad. There were two separate entities. When she ate from the tree, she came to the conclusion that Hashem doesn't want me, but it's not, it doesn't kill me, but he says it's good. Once she ate from the tree, internally, came this new Yetzirah, which is the real Yetzirah, and that is a mixture of good and bad. So you should know, everybody, that he never comes to you with pure bad. Because pure bad, we're too good to do pure bad. He puts in maybe 1% good, whatever he puts in. Right? The poison, in the famous story, where did the witch put the poison? She didn't walk over, not Cinderella, the one that fell asleep. Sleeping Beauty, Snow White, whatever.
Just gotta get our stories together. What is this?
Whatever. Where did she put the poison in the apple? She didn't walk over and say, here, open your mouth and pour poison it. She put it in the apple. The Satan puts your poison in the apple. Apple, computer, okay, all right, anyway. But that's where he puts your poison. He puts it in the apple. So you go in there for the right reason and you end up, who knows where. Someone said Macintosh, what did you say?
Apple tree,
okay. All right, but it sounds like a joke, but it's not a joke. So the answer to the kasha is that before she ate from the tree, there was no Yetzirah. There was a Nachash, and he was Arum. But there was no Yetzirah. I'm not going to put my hand in the fire. I'm not jumping off the building. After she ate from the tree, it became good and bad mixed together, and we totally have no clarity. And we don't know what's good, and we don't know what's bad, and that's the Yetzer Hara, and that's what happened in Bereishis. That's where he became part of us. I mean, this week's Parsha is Parsha's Masai, and Parsha's Masai means to travel, a trip. And it's a very interesting, I'm going to read you a Medrash, it's a very interesting Parsha, because it tells you every single place that the Jews stopped. Who cares? Not in every single place did something happen that we need to know where they stopped. Right? We're here. They traveled a long time ago. It's a geography lesson. It's history. Why does the Torah tell us? I'm going to read you a medrash why the Torah tells us. But the trip and the travels of the Jews in the Midbar is a very big representation of our travels in life. And I'm going to go through that a little bit in the medrash. So a person needs to know to be able to discern between good and bad. And that is the Yetzer Hara of today. That's the Yetzer Hara that we have. And I hate to say it, I know you don't like when I talk about the internet so much, but that's his kayach. Now, he said something amazing last night, Rabbi Lamb, that he gave an amazing shir by the boys. I didn't give the shir last night. I sat in the shir and listened to his shir, and there was something very amazing that he said that I'd like to speak about for a moment. So the question is like this. Who in this room thinks that we have a higher IQ or we're more holy than the Jews that left Mitzrayim? For sure not. They were way, 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 way smarter. Way, way, way above us. So the question is, how come they didn't have cell phones? No, it's a serious question.
They didn't need it.
How? Oh, so why did they?
There was no service in the desert.
Trust me, AT&T was there, Verizon was there, and it says that when the Yamsuf split to 12 different parts, they all saw each other, they all talked to each other, so something was going on. But they didn't have cell phones. They didn't have computers. There was no computers. There was no cell phones. There was no internet. If they were smarter than we are, how come they didn't have all those things in Mitzrayim?
They would deserve it.
So you're going to tell me they were prehistoric. They weren't prehistoric. They were way above us. So he said something amazing, amazing, Rabbi Lamb, last night. And he said like this. He said, if you see a man with a hearing aid, he's wearing a hearing aid in his ear. What does that mean? That means that internally, his organ is not working. So externally, he needs to put something else on his ear to be able to hear. If somebody's wearing glasses, I'm wearing glasses. What does that mean? That means that internally, my eyes are not working the way they're supposed to. I'm not 20/20. So externally, I have to put on a pair of glasses. Now look, a person in a hospital that's full of tubes. Right? We're going to say, that's very cool. Wow. He feeds through a tube. He breathes through a tube. This is cool. This is wow. This is science. It's amazing. Just the opposite. The person's very sick. Internally, his stomach's not working. Internally, his lungs are not working. So they have to breathe for him and they have to pump his blood for him. So when there's external instruments, that means internal instruments are not working correctly. Amazing. So why does this dar, the generation we live in, have so many external instruments, computers and cell phones and all the technology that we have? Why? Because internally, it's not working. When they left Mitzrayim, internally everything was working. They didn't need cell phones. They didn't need computers. The Gemara says that in the times of the Beis HaMikdash, double the amount of the Jews that left Mitzrayim. That means there were 600,000 men. 1,200,000 Nevi'im. There were 1,200,000 prophets, the Gemara says, in the times of the Beis HaMikdash. How many prophets are alive today? Zero. There are no Nevi'im alive today. Tzadik is Ruach HaKodesh. That's not Nevi'is. So, since we're not on the level to have Nevi'is, since we're not on the level to be on, internally we're not working correctly, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu externally gave us a cell phone, gave us a computer, gave us all these things to be able to interact with other people, because we don't know how. We don't know how to reach out to somebody else. So what did the telephone company come out? Reach out and touch someone. Because we don't know how to reach out to someone else. So they had to come up with a telephone. So he said, so why did Hashem give us a telephone? To learn from all these different things. Because if you tell somebody that when you whisper to your friend Lashon Hara, Hashem doesn't hear that, you know that when somebody's whispering on their phone, there's someone on the other end that hears it. You also know that when you're talking to a phone to somebody else, that I can be in this room with 200, 300, 400 people and pick up my phone and call my wife, and even though I'm with 400 people, it's just me and her talking to each other. So that you can be in a shul How could you understand that you're in a shul? 400 people davening. And Hashem's only listening to you. How could that be? Learn from the phone. I could be in here, and all of you could be on your cell phones right now, and I could be on the cell phone to my wife, and all she hears is, well, if you're all on the cell phone, she'll hear you too, but she hears me. It's me and her. So everything Hashem put in technology is to teach us lessons that in the time of Yetzias Mitzrayim, they knew already. Internally, their organs were working. They could look at a plant and understand that there's a God. We have to look at all kinds of crazy technology to understand that there's a God. A plant? Who looks at a plant? Who's interested in a plant and how a flower, all the different colors and it opens and who gives it the power to open? What's the deal with a rose? What's the deal with a rose? You got to open your hand, right? Your brain sends neurons and neutrons and all kinds of mice to your nerves, to your muscle to open your hand. What brain does a rose have? You stick a rose in water, there's no brain in the water, there's no brain in the stem, there's no brain in the flower. Shalom Aleichem, you're in water, open up. Woo, rose opens up. Who told it to open up? Where's the power to open up? Where's the brain to open up? So you can look at a rose and say there's HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but we don't do that. In the times that you see us trying, they were able to do it. We don't do that. So Hashem had to put on a computer. So you could send a message thousands of miles in 1 second and click and say, wow, there must be a God in this world. Because if we could do that, then God could do anything else. So he created all this technology, all these pipes, all these hearing aids, all these lung machines, so to say, all these pipes on the outside, because we don't have it on the inside. So now it's Tovu Rasa. What do you do with it? So of course the Yetzer Hara said, good Hashem, go. You know, create technology, and then I'm going to take this technology and I'm going to turn it into the biggest avaris that you could imagine. They knew, they had the VM. Whatever you're going to see on your CNN news, they knew before it happened. They didn't need CNN news. They didn't need reporters. They closed their eyes and they saw the whole world. They didn't need a television. We never have all these different things, but you have to understand why Hashem gave it to us. He was saying something amazing. You know this MapQuest, not MapQuest, the thing in the car.
GPS.
Why did Hashem create GPS? When I was growing up, there was no GPS. Right? You asked, then you asked again, then you asked again, then you asked again, you kept getting lost, right? And that was just going to the gas station 2 miles away. But you know, GPS, you are here. Plug in where you're going. And it takes you that way. It's amazing. It's amazing. Now, I don't know if you've ever been, I'm sure none of you have been to a mall, right? For sure not. But I've been to a mall. Now, my wife told me to meet her at the Gap. There's 900 stores in this mall. I don't know where the Gap is, right? How am I going to find the Gap? So, you get online behind those four or five people. There's this big, you know, four-cornered tripod, whatever it is, directory, right? And the directory says, it's A5. And A5, and you look at it and you're like, okay, I know where A5, but I don't know where I am. So do I make a left or make a right? Where am I? So you have that little teeny thing says, you are here. Now, if you don't have that little teeny thing that says, you are here, you can't find that, can't find where you're going. Because if you don't know where you are, right? You don't know where you are in this crazy huge mall. You don't know if to make a left, make a right. I see where it is on the map, but I don't know where I am. Right? So therefore, if you don't have the you are here, so every GPS has to be from where to where. If you just put in the GPS, Washington, D.C. Right? Well, actually, GPS knows where you are. So you can put in Washington, D.C. So you have to put in your destination. Now, he said it's amazing because this machine tells you, go this way, go that way, go this way, go that way. He said the GPS for a Jew is the Torah. You have to know where you are. You have to know where you want to go. And then if you want to know where you want to go, I'm going to Tisha B'Av. I got to know what's that halacha of Tisha B'Av. Fast, wear my shoes, not wear my shoes. Can I sit on a chair? What time can I wear a chair? Do you wear tefillin? Right? How do I get there? Open a Mishnah Berurah, open a Shulchan Aruch. Tells you. You can do this, you can do this, you can't do this, you can't do this, you can't do it. It's a GPS. The Torah is a GPS. But he said something amazing. He said that people get very, very depressed because they do have avaris and they miss their target. You know, at 21, I want to be a tznua, and I don't want to be talking any lashon hara, and I want to get rid of my cell phone, and you have all these plans, right? And it doesn't happen, right? So what happens in your GPS, which happens to me a lot? It says make a left. First of all, you have that beautiful voice on there, right? That nice voice. Number one, it's very nice not to get yelled at for a change. People buy GPS just to get instructions, not to get yelled at. They go to school, they're yelling. They come home, their mother's yelling at them. So get this GPS. Make a left. Go 2 miles and then make a right. And don't be nervous. Beautiful. And you can put on English accent and French accent, right? And then if you're really cool, you get that mobile GPS, right? There's a mobile one. Some of you have it on your phones, right? And you have one in your car and you have your mobile. You put the man's voice in your car and you put the woman's voice on the mobile. And then you plug into where you're going and they fight with each other. It's like very cool. Make a left. No, make a right. No, but I said, right, okay, anyway. So what's the godless of the GPS? The godless of the GPS is it said make a right to get onto the turnpike and you missed the right. Right? Now in school, if you missed the right, right? You made a mistake. You made a mistake. You're a failure. Forget about it, right? GPS. Alternate route. Make a fast U-turn. Go left. Go right. It's like, hey, the machine didn't freak out. You can actually make 40 mistakes in a row. Keep going around, right? And the machine doesn't lose its cool. Make a left, make a right, make a U-turn. Nobody's screaming at you. It's an unbelievable machine. Forget about therapy. Just buy GPS. Get in there, right? Drive on purpose this way you're supposed to turn. And it's like the coolest. It's like so sweet and so nice. You know, it's like, and then when you reach your destination, you know, you reached your destination. And you feel like so proud. Hello, the machine told you every 2 feet what to do. Like, see, I can find anything. There's a famous joke, it's not a joke, it's a story. This guy was going to Levaya, right? And he couldn't find the Beisach Forest, so he put in his GPS. And when he got to the Beisach Forest, the machine said, you have reached your destination. He went crazy, he freaked out. Famous story about GPS. Anyway, on a serious matter, all these things that Hashem gave us. So what does it teach us? It teaches us that you can make a mistake. You can make a mistake after 400 miles. It's always that last 2 blocks that you can't find, right? After 400 miles, you made a mistake, right? Your whole life, you made a mistake. You're like, oh, I can't believe it. And the machine says, alternate route. There's another way to make it. There's another way to go. And you know what? It says, Habe Drachim. There are many ways to serve Hashem. Habe Drachim LaTorah. There are many ways, right? The GPS is the perfect one because you have a choice. Toll roads, main highways, local roads, and they all end up getting to the same place. A little bit longer, a little bit cheaper sometimes if you don't have money for the toll, but they all end up getting you at the same place. So why did Hashem create a GPS? Because if you examine it, it'll teach you about life. Why did he create a phone? If you examine it, it can teach you that you could talk one-on-one to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It could also explain to you, when it says in the Mishnah, that Oizen Shemas, that there's an ear that hears you, that you understand, when they learned this Mishnah 2,000 years ago, how did they understand that Hashem hears me? How can Hashem hear me? You all understand that. That's like a no-brainer for you. Of course Hashem hears me. Sure, he has a phone, whatever. And Hashem sees me. That's no big chiddush. So, for you and me to understand that Hashem sees every single thing that we do, Hashem had to create that camera. Now you understand, no big deal. It's a camera. It sees what I'm doing. Hashem has a camera. But what happened 2,000 years ago? They didn't need a camera. Because internally, they understood that Hashem sees everything. But as we got weaker and weaker and weaker, we were like hiding in our rooms thinking, ah, God, you can't see what I'm doing. Hashem made a camera so that you don't think that. And Hashem made a phone. And Hashem made a tape recorder to explain this all to us. Only because we're not on that level. So if that's why he made it, we have to learn from it. Okay. So this week's Parsha is Parsha's Masa. I want to read you an amazing Medrash. And the Medrash says the following. Dava Acher, Eile Masa. These are the travels. Lama Zochu L'Kosei Batera Kol HaMasos Eilu. The whole Parsha is we went from here, from here, from here, from here, from here, from here. Why? Why does Hashem have to tell us? So he says like this. Asher Kiblus Yisrael. That these places that the Jews stopped and rested, these places accepted us. It let us camp there. What does that mean? It let us camp there. And Hashem said, I'm going to pay each place in the Midbar, the desert, that the Jews stopped and camped, I'm going to pay them back. How do you know this? Because it says in Yeshaya that this Midbar one day is going to have flowers. V'sifrach kichabot selas, poroyach tifrach v'sagel. The Midbar is going to be happy. This desert is going to be happy. He's going to give away flowers. And he says like this. Ma Midbar Shekabal Yisrael. Surely a Midbar, a desert. Where the Jews camped in the desert, really, it's not alive. It didn't have a choice. It couldn't throw them out. Right? And therefore Hashem says, I'm going to reward you when Mashiach comes. And all the desert in Eretz Yisrael, you go to the Sinai desert, Judean desert in Israel, those hills are going to be the most gorgeous, beautiful, mountainous with water and flower hills. And the places that are settled, it says, are going to become desert. The places that are desert are going to become settled. Whatever that means, I don't know exactly. But he says, you should learn from this that surely a land that has no feelings that allowed the Jews just to camp there are going to be rewarded, that that land is going to give fruit. Hamakabal to me the Chachamim. It's like Beisai, somebody who takes a Jew into their house, Allah has kama v'kama. So imagine what their award is going to be. He says it in Befeirish. He says in the future the desert is going to become dwelled upon, and the areas that are dwelled upon are going to become Midbar. And he brings down Psukim. So I want to take this a little deeper. So this week's parasha talks about all these travels. And we see from the Medrash that it's trying to tell us that what was Midbar is going to grow, and what grew is going to become Midbar. What are you telling me here? What do we need the Midbar if you're going to tell me that the Yishuv where we're living now in Israel is going to be green and the Midbar is going to become green? Thank you, Hashem. But you're telling me that the Midbar is going to become green and the other land is going to become desert? So what do you do for me? What's this Medrash talking about? So you switched? So I think that the Medrash is a little bit deeper and it's trying to teach us something very important. This whole parsha is talking about a trip, traveling from place to place to place to place. Everybody's life is full of traveling from place to place to place. Therefore, what the Medrash is telling us, girls, is that the places that you went, that you were not successful, like it says, I don't know exactly how many travels. The Medrash says how many. I don't know exactly by heart. But it shows all these different travels. So I really feel that what the Medrash is trying to tell me is as follows. My whole life I'm traveling. I stopped here and I went here and I went to this school and I went to this place and I failed in many places. In many places I didn't accomplish what I wanted to accomplish. Says HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that in the end, when Mashiach comes, and I always tell you that Mashiach is general, but Mashiach is each one of us. Each one of us needs our own Mashiach. When each one brings their own Mashiach, then the big Mashiach is going to come. Mashiach, I've been waiting for the shofar to blow. You know, and we're all going to go. That's a separate shir, and you know, we're not all going to go. We're mid-shir, we all go, but it's not a guarantee. But each person that found the Mashiach in themselves, they're going to go for sure. What's a Mashiach? What does that mean, a Mashiach? That means in the end of time, everyone's going to realize that God is one. And God is the only one. And Moda'ani has 12 words. So it's just 12 seconds. Hashem, everything he did, even your Moda'ani, that there's a reason for it. And that's what a person needs to internalize. So Hashem says, let me tell you something. All that midbar that you went through in your life, all those struggles of dating and took a long time, or having children took a long time, or at school and kids made fun of you, or camp, whatever you went through in your life, whatever you did wrong. Because Baruch Hu is saying that there will come a time that those situations that you were, that were in Midbar, there will be tzameach. There will be flowers from them. Now, what am I talking about? What does that mean? So I'll give you a perfect example. Many people ask me, this girl, you're putting so much money into her. You're spending so much time. You're putting in so much money. Why? And Wallenstein, there's no chance. It's not going to happen. She's done so much. You're wasting your time. Go take care of somebody else. So why does Rabbi Wallerstein gamble on such a situation? Cost money, you gotta send her here, you gotta do this, gotta do that. So if I wasn't a gambler, I wouldn't take the chance. I would look at my numbers, I'd be an actuary, and say, okay, let's see, this girl and this girl. I have an hour and I'm putting in a certain amount of money. Let's take a look at her record. Let's see how much she grew. Let's see what she does. We're going to do numbers. We're going to do an actuary. We're going to figure it out. Does it make sense logically? Should we put in the time? Is there going to be a product? Right? Like an accountant. I'm not that kind of guy. I'm not an accountant. So, I went through stuff in life. I'm not getting into it. Took some gambles in my life. Not good ones. Bad ones. Lost. But I learned from it. That's not why Hashem wants you to have that midah of taking chances to do stupid things with money or whatever it is. He gave you that midah, that desert, those mistakes to learn from and say, that's not what I'm gambling on. You know what I'm gambling on now? I'm gambling on neshamas. Just like a gambler believes that the next card is going to be the winning card, the next dollar is going to be the winning dollar, you can take that and believe that the next person, I don't care what they say about it, I don't care how far we're down, I don't care how much we're losing, but we can win. Because I know that we can win. Because I'm willing to gamble, I'm willing to give everything in my life that this person should straighten themselves out. So that midbar, that stuff that you went through, if you find Hashem, and you find your inner Mashiach, says the Medrash, will be tzomeach, that part of your life that was desert, that you went through all that pain, and you have more stops than the Torah has. And I rested here, and I decided I was going to do it, and I traveled to here, and I traveled to there, and I changed this, and I went to this school, and I changed that, and I went to this guy, I went out with this boy, and I changed my ideas, and I got a little bit older, and I changed my other ideas, and I suffered, and I suffered, and I suffered, and guess what? You can take all that suffering and all that desert, if you find HaKadosh Baruch Hu in your soul, you find your Mashiach in your soul, you can take all that desert, and you can turn it into the most beautiful garden in the world. You can help someone else that's going through it, you can understand someone else that's going through it, you're going to become a Shachin, because you struggled. I'm not going to become a shachin. People ask me, Rabbi Wallstein, why don't you make shidduchim? So I'm like, it's not my thing. It's not my thing. But I'll tell you the real reason. Because I got married and engaged to the first girl I met. So I didn't suffer. I wasn't 40 years old thinking that I may never get married. Thank you very much. Absolutely, you're right. I am right now giving myself mussar in front of all of you. I will pay each one $10. This is my session. But the truth is, honestly,
you can't do it. You have to appoint someone.
Oh, so that we're working on, Baruch Hashem. Baruch Hashem, we're working on it very hard. But I'm open to you. Why am I not sensitive? I should be much more sensitive. Because I got married when I was 20 years old. I wasn't 40 years old. I wasn't thinking maybe I'll never get married. I didn't go out with 200 people that told me no when I thought they were going to tell me yes. I didn't go through that. I went through other stuff. So that other stuff is my midbar. So I got to turn that into a gan. But there are people who have gone through a very hard time and they're much more sensitive. And you know what? A lot of shadchanim, right, are people who went through this and said, I'm going to help girls that they don't have to go through it. And there's other things that people go through. So that midbar, you could say, it's a midbar, I failed, it was miserable. I want to forget that part of my life. Don't forget nothing. Don't live in it. We're not allowed to live in it. Learn from it. We don't live in it. That's depression. But learn from it. So therefore, the Torah tells you, every stop that the Jews stopped in the desert, we want you to know that, and many of them were failures. Many of them were when they complained about the man, when they made the ego, when they spoke Lashon Hara, when they were Meraglim. Look at the Torah doesn't just tell you the nice places. They stopped at Har Sinai and they got the Torah. Yay. They stopped at Kriyas Yamsuf. The Torah tells you all the nasty things that they did in each place that they stopped. What are you telling us that for? To tell us, the Medrash says, that those places, that those Averis were done, in those places where Mashiach comes, whoa, a garden, trees, flowers, everything. So we have to internalize that, girls, and go into our past, into our travels, into our trips, and go back to those deserts and use them for the correct things. And then the Medrash says, the Kodesh Baruch Hu says, there will be great flowers and great things growing there. You have to use the things that you go through in life. And therefore there's a whole parsha in the Torah that talks about traveling. Masai. Traveling through life. And I think that is what the Medrash says. Now, last week I spoke some very scary things. A lot of girls got scared, and I'm sorry I didn't mean to spook it. Well, actually, I did. But I want to read you a Kava Yosha about someone asked me, what do women do in Gan Eden? Men, we know they go to Yeshiva Shomayla. These are good questions. I'm going to Gan Eden. I want to go to Gan Eden. Rabbi, how do I get to Gan Eden? Okay, now I'm in Gan Eden. What, at Bloomingdale's? What, an unlimited credit card? It doesn't say that you know, change clothing up there and change shoes. So, what do women do in Shemayim? So here you are, you worked so hard, you came to Shemayim, they're going to put you in Yeshiva Shemayla, they're going to sit you with a Gemara or a Kiva Eger. What are they going to do in Shemayim? So there's a Kava Yashar that I'd like to read to you about what a woman does in Shemayim. Listen carefully. So he says, there are four rooms for women in Gan Eden. Four rooms. Heichal, this is, whoever wants to look it up, Kaveh Yosha, Paragun Dal. I want you to know, it's very scary. You know, I'm learning Kaveh Yosha. It's my svarim. I teach Kaveh Yosha. And there's some kind of thing, I don't know, on Google, that some guy who died and came back and from Eretz Yisrael, and he does an hour of what he saw in Shemayim, and it's not something I advise any of you to watch. It is extremely scary. He talks about the Malachi Chabala. He talks about Gehenna. He talks about how they took him from this place to that place. And he's crying like a baby. And he was a Chiloni. He was irreligious, who became religious. It is amazing. Whoever watches that is, but you're broken because you get so scared about what's going to happen. And it's an amazing hour. And one of my Talmidim said, Rebbe, you got to see it. I'm like, I don't go on the internet. He said, I'll make a tape. And I said, you know what? Tell me what you saw. Tell me what it said. And he started to tell me what he said. And I said, Kaveh Yosha Perek Mem, Kaveh Yosha Perek Nun Aleph, Kaveh Yosha Chav, Kaveh Yosha Chav Veiz. I said, you know what? This guy was really there.
It gives the source.
This guy was really there. Because if he could say all that stuff that he saw, it's all coming from the Kaveh Yosha. So, on the other hand, that means the Kaveh Yosha was there. So everything that's in this book, which we know is Kodesh Kedoshim, the Chidah quotes from it. So what he's saying about women right now, you should just know, this is the MS in the next world. And he says the following. He says, Heichal Echad Yesh L'mayla. There's one big room, one of them. Who runs that room? Batya Bas Paro. Batya, the daughter of Paro, that's her room. The Kamar Rabbis V'alofim, there are hundreds of thousands of Noshim Tzikaniyais in that room, of holy women in that room. Ulekol Chada, and every woman in that room, Makom Yuchad, she has her own private place, V'hiz'aneg Bo'enig Gadol, to sit and enjoy. Ushalish Paman Bayom, three times a day, I guess Shachar Mincha Maariv probably, Machrizin, there's an announcement in the room. Ha the Yokna the Maisha Neviyah Mehem Neyase. So they're announcing that if you want to see Moshe Rabbeinu, he's here. Because Yosef Batya Lamakam Echad, Batya Bas Paro goes to this one place. Asher Perechas Pusa Shem, and there's a curtain. Roya Derech Paroida, and they see through the curtain the Kaina de Moshe. They see Moshe Rabbeinu in the next world. The women from that room. Oymeras and Batya Bas Paro says Zako Achal Koy Shekadati Naharada. What an unbelievable portion that I brought up this Moshe Rabbeinu. I brought him up. That's what she says. They all come back. They're all wearing beautiful clothing. Here in the next world. Beautiful clothing. Not designer clothing. This is spiritual clothing. Clothing like in our world. But this clothing that they wear has a huge light. There's a huge light that comes from it. The Nikrom in Shemayim, they are called Noshim Sha'ananos. Beautiful women. That's one room. Maybe to get into that room. Bat Yishopar, Bat Yah was named Bas Yah, the daughter of God. We learned in Sefer Gugulim that Bat Yah was actually the daughter of Adam, who came back and Paro adopted her. So that's one room in the next world. Ubehechal Hasheni, second room, Yosheva Serach Bas Osher. Everyone knows Serach Bas Osher, the Kamalo Rivas Noshim Tzikaniyas Ima, and there are hundreds of thousands of women with her. B'shalosh Pav Mechol Yom Achrizin, HaYosef Tzadika Aseh. They get to see, not Moshe Rabbeinu in that room, they get to see Yosef HaTzadik, all the stories that I tell you about Yosef HaTzadik and his beauty. These women get to see Yosef HaTzadik. B'yichodos V'yotzit Gan Kerem L'goy Peragdash, she goes to the curtain, Islay, and she says, V'chama No'arud Dikoinu D'Yosef. Look how beautiful is the face of Yosef. V'almara, she says, Zakoch U'koy V'zakoch HaYomesh V'yisadim U'chifu L'ovi Yizikein L'Yakob. Do you know why, ladies, I have this award? Because instead of telling Yaakov Avinu, Yosef was alive and he would be shocked and die, she sang it to him. So subconsciously, he realized that he was alive. So we're going to explain about the difference of all these rooms. So that's why you have a room in Gan Eden? That you run a whole room? Because you sang a song? Benam L'chavera. She anticipated Yaakov's feelings. Benam L'chavera was very big in the next world. She had good news. But even to give good news has to be done correctly. Surely bad news. She had good news. She was very careful how she gave the good news. Okay. V'heichal Achara, in the third room. Who sits in the third room? Yocheved, the mother of Moshe Rabbeinu, and Aaron and Miriam. There are many thousands of women with her. This is a very special room. Listen carefully. And every day, all the women in that room, they get up, and they praise the Mori Oma God. Ihi, her, and all the women, Mizamrois, Shiras Hayam. They sing the Shira of the Shiras Hayam. And then she sings the pasuk by Tikach Miriam and Neviah and stuff. They sing the whole shira. Then they sing the shira that the women sang. Now listen carefully. The kama kito shemalachim shaymim l'kol ni'ima shalahem. And the malachim stop to listen to the women in that room sing to Hashem. Says the Kav Hanaki that everything when they sing, these women sing. We don't understand what this means. The chol elu hatzadikim shebegan Eden. All the men that are sitting the tzaddikim in Gan Eden, makshivim l'kol ni'imos shelah, listening to her beautiful voice. Don't ask me kol isha. There's no yitzhar in the next world, so there's no problem with kol isha. The kama, and what is isha in the next world? What does that mean exactly? The kama alachim kedoshim moedim u'mishakim l'Hashem ima. And many angels come and they bow down and they praise Hashem with her. You hear what level you can reach, girls? You can reach the level that in the next world, when you sing to Hashem, everything stops. And the malachim sing with you, and the tzaddikim listen to you. If you're nashim tzikaniyais, if you're nashim tznuais, if you do what you're supposed to, if you act like you're supposed to, you can be in any one of these three rooms. The fourth room you can't get into. The fourth room, I think maybe you could get into it. I have my own little concept, but I can't argue with the Kaveh Yasha. And he says, Sham Devarah Neviyah, Bahabe Nashim Yimah. I'm sorry, the fifth room. There's Devarah Neviyah, and they sing the Shira of Devarah. And he says, and then inside is one more room. And in that room sits Sara Rivka Rachel Valeya. The law is Gaile Malach Amon, and you can't get into that room. Why? Umehechlo de Lahon, from that room comes out Nishmas Hagerim, the neshamas of the people who convert to Judaism. And then after that they go under Kanfei Ashchina. The Ein Rishus Yosef Darav, he says, I can't talk about this anymore. I'm not allowed to talk about this anymore. The fifth room is where the Imois are, and that room is where they make Gerim. I'm thinking that a girl, or a woman who her whole life is doing Kirov and is helping Hashem bring his children back, probably can get into that room too. But he doesn't say that. I don't have the power to say that. But I'm thinking, Mida Kenegi Mida, if you bring girls under the Kanfei of Hashem, the Imahos, I'm sure, will bring you into their room. I'm thinking that that's what would happen. But, last week I spoke to you about your eyeballs being broken out of your sockets and Gehenna and fire and whoa! Everybody got all nervous. Yeah, this is where you want to go. You have a choice, you have a chance. You go into these four rooms. You have a chance to sing Shira. So what are you doing? Hashem put you in this world. You can earn the chance in the next world to be with Batya, to see Moshe Rabbeinu, to see Yosef HaTzadik, to be in the highest part of Gan Eden. Girls, what are we doing? Is that where you think we're going to be? Is that what we're striving for? Is that on the GPS? Is that on your GPS? Hashem, I know where I want to go. If Mashiach doesn't come and at 120 I leave this world, I want to sit with Batya. I want to sit with Yocheved. I want the Malachim to listen to me sing. All right? So now I gave you a destination, everybody. You never had this destination before. I gave you a destination to put into your GPS. The question is, where are you coming from? That you need to know. You need to know two ends. Where are you going? But you are here. You are here. And that's where you have to look on the directory. Where am I? And you got to find out where you are in that directory. And then you know how far you got to go. But everybody could go because the GPS says, if you missed a turn, so make another turn. You can still get there. It's not a problem. So you have a place to go. It's work. And the Yitzhar is not going to let you go. He doesn't want you there. He definitely doesn't hang out there. That's for sure. He wants you where he lives. And they don't sing Shira in that place. So you got to be careful. And like we said in the beginning of this year, he's not going to come to you with pure bad. Stick your hand in the fire. He's going to come to you with all kinds of mixed stuff. And you gotta know the difference. I'm like totally not on my shear. I have like 12 stories to tell you tonight. It's very late. But I told you, so you can ask me, how do I know? And I've said this, but it just fits into the shear, so I have to tell you. So how do I know when you're telling me that he's coming to me with good and bad? I don't know. Is it good? Is it bad? What do I do? So I told you this famous story. I will just tell it to you again, and then I'll end. There was two Israeli soldiers that were stuck in the desert on top of a mountain, and they were totally lost, broken away from all their whole unit. And they were starving up there. They didn't have food. They didn't have water. And after 3 days in the hot Judean desert, one of them was already laying. He was totally out, you know, just a little conscious. And the other one was starting to hallucinate. He's starting to see things. You know, you're in the desert for a long time. All of a sudden you see ice cream, you see soda, and you start running from one place to the other, and you're dead. And in a few minutes, you're dead. You know, you see water. It's not really there. It's called a mirage. There's such a place in Vegas called Mirage. It's a mirage. You see something that isn't there. The Satan is the king of mirages. Because you know, right after you do an Avera, right? What happens right after you do an Avera? Everybody, every Jew, after they do the sin, they feel bad. They don't feel bad, there's something really wrong. You feel bad for a second, and you're like, it wasn't so bad. But that first second's like, I shouldn't have done that. But he works. So the question is, why do you feel bad? If you did the Avera and he got you to do the sin, why are you feeling bad? What happened between doing the sin and the feeling bad? And there's a beautiful answer. Because there's a war. It's a toy, it's a hard. It's a go, come on, go with your friends. Go, go, no, yes, no, yes, maybe, I don't know, should I? I don't know. Hello? Right? You have this whole fight, this internal fight. And then you go. And then the movie wasn't good anyway. And you walk out and you're like, I didn't go to movies for 6 years. I can't believe I did this. I'm so angry at myself. I did this. I can't believe it. I was off on the internet already. I can't believe I did this. I feel so bad I did this. Right? And then 2 weeks later, you do it again. But you feel very bad. Why? Why do you feel bad? You went. You made a decision. Why do you feel bad? So the Chafetz Chaim says why you feel bad. Because the whole time, Yetzer Hara. Then you did the Avera. What does Yetzer Hara do when you do the Avera? What does he do? He runs to Shemayim. Run in front of Hashem. Hey, Merlot went to the movies. Right? He reports what you did. He's your friend in your head, right? But the minute you do it, he's your accuser. So in that 1 second that he leaves you to tell Hashem that terrible Avera you just did, you only are left with who? With who? He ate the toe. So you feel bad. When you only have a Yetzer Tov, of course you feel bad what you did. Then he comes flying back, and it's like, not so bad what I just did. But for that 1 second that you were all Yetzer Tov girls, it's an amazing second. That 1 second that you all Yetzer Tov, you feel like a piece of dirt. I can't believe I did it. It was an old saying. I don't remember exactly what it was, but I remember when I was a kid, it was an advertisement. And this like kid sitting there, and he's like, I can't believe I ate the whole thing. And that's how you sit after an Avera. I can't believe what I just did. I can't believe it. Because you're only left with your Yetzer Tov. And then of course the Yetzer Hara comes flying back. So these two guys are up there, and this guy says to his friend, oh my goodness, wake up, wake up, wake up. Hashem made a miracle. There's a lake at the bottom of the mountain. He's like, are you crazy? We're here for 3 days. There's no lake. Let me sleep. No, no, you got to see. He picks him up, schleps him to the edge of the mountain. He says, a lake. We got to run down there right now. We got to take a drink. Hashem saved us. The other guy realizes he's a soldier. He's trained. They're pretty much losing their lives. They have maybe 2-3 hours left. But he realizes if they go to the bottom of this mountain and there's no water, they're going to die on the spot. Just the going down and using their bodies, they're finished. So he says to his friend, this is written in the Jerusalem Post. I read this in the Jerusalem Post. So he says to his comrade, to his friend, he says, okay, you think there's water down there? I'll tell you what. Look at the water and tell me if you see the reflection of the sun. Because it's a sunny day in the desert and water reflects. If you see in the water the sun, the reflection, I'm going with you. Hashem made a miracle. So the guy peers over the side, looks down. He says, that is crazy weird. There's no reflection of the sun in my lake. He goes, if there's no reflection of the sun in your lake, it's not a lake. You're looking at a bunch of sand. It's a mirage. And this soldier that wanted to take him down was really, he was staring at him. He's like, this is crazy, you know, it doesn't make sense. Anyway, to make the reason they wrote the story is like an hour later, so they didn't go down. An hour later, a helicopter found them, they were saved. And he wrote how his friend saved him with such pikeach, he was so brilliant, by telling him to look at the reflection. So let me give you a word of advice tonight. If you want to know if it's good or bad, look at the reflection in what you're about to do. If you see Hashem, that's what Hashem wants me to do, do it. If you don't see Hashem, it's a mirage. Whatever he's telling you, talk to the boy, this, that, it's a mitzvah, all these mitzvahs. Yetzirah has more than 613 mitzvahs, by the way. Yetzirah, we only have 613 mitzvahs. Yetzirah has 65,000 or 6 million mitzvahs. He's got stuff he tells you is good and is a mitzvah, it's what Hashem wants. That's absolutely false. So when you want to do something, when you want to do a deed, when you want to do something, look at a reflection of what you're about to do. Is this what Hashem wants me to do? Who got saved in the Torah by that? Yosef HaTzadik. When Potiphar's wife came and said, it's a mitzvah, I'm not married, we're going to have children, I see it in the stars. It was Nairidik. She sold him everything. But then he said, Chapasi La Hashem. Everything is right. The stars say we're going to have Ephraim and Menashe together. You're not married. You didn't consummate the marriage. Halacha, I can marry you. Everything is in place. Everything is good. Now let me see if Hashem wants me to marry Eshes Potiphar. I work for the man. He feeds me. He takes care of me. I should be with his wife? It's not an Aveira. He wasn't with the woman. We went through this whole shit already, right? He didn't consummate the marriage. Even by the Goyim, it's not, the Rashi says, it wasn't an Aveira. And they're going to have Kedut. The stars don't lie. The stars said they're going to have a kedusha to take a children. So Yosef said, you're 100% right. Let me look at the reflection. Does Hashem want me to cheat with my boss's wife? His girlfriend, whatever you want to call her? The man takes care of me? Is that a curse at all? No. Chatasi lalokim. Vayonos Yosef. I'm out of here. It don't make sense. Your boss wants you to stay late. He's alone with you in the office. He's telling you he needs help. Rachmanis, he can't finish the deal, he can't make the money, he has to pay his tuition, and all these stories, and just stay, you know, everyone left, but could you stay 3 more hours and just do my numbers with that? It's Yichud, you can't do it. But I'm helping him, and I'm helping this one, and I'm going to give more Maisa money for my money, but it's Yichud. And Hashem said, you're not allowed to do it, and there's no reflection in the water, so what are you doing? You can't do it. You can't do it because he said, Chatasi lalakim. It's wrong. It's wrong to be on Facebook. I'll say it again. It's wrong. I'll get up and I'll fight anybody that comes to me. I will send you to places on Facebook. It's tame. And it's wrong. And it's a means of destruction. And it's wrong. And there's not one girl that went off Facebook that came back to me and said, Rabbi Wallstein, I am miserable. Every single girl came back to me and said, you gave me back my life. You gave me back my life. I'm on that miserable Facebook for 8 hours. My mother calls me, I don't have time. My friends call me, I don't have time. It's my life. Forget about the Yiddishkeit part of it. Thank you, Rabbi Wallstein, you gave me back my life. Girls, no one's living anymore. No one's living. Tchias HaMeisim would be if Hashem made all the electrical gadgets in the world break. That would be Tchias HaNeshim in my language. Forget about the bodies coming out of the ground. The live bodies that are dead in this room. You don't say good morning to your mother. You don't say hello to your mother. You don't talk to your friends. You don't talk to nobody. You're either on the internet, you're on this. You're electronically. You're living electronically. You have no life. Halavai, something should hit the earth that every single electrical object would not work. We'd get to know each other.
Amen.
We get to know each other. We get to know our families. We get to know our parents. You don't even understand. I come from a little bit of a different generation. You don't understand. There's no communication. I'm part of it. I'm part of it. You don't know what another person looks like. You only know what the face of your phone looks like. Your screensaver. That's all you know, what it looks like. And you change that every couple of days. Tchias HaMeisim would be if all phones were finished. If some antenna fell down and ha 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 ha. The World Trade Center, when it went down, and there was no television for 2 weeks because there were no antennas, people got to realize, I have children. Children are saying, Mommy, Tati, can I be your cell phone? Talk to me as much as you talk to that. Listen to me as much as you listen to that. Charge me next to your bed. Upgrade me every once in a while. Yeah, it's very funny. Look at the next generation. It's very funny. It's a big joke. It's a big joke. You get into a car,
you used to listen to Torah tape, you used to listen to music. An hour, 2 hour drive to the mountains was relaxing. 2 hours, you're driving to the mountains as a guy, right? Your wife's up in the mountains. You're in your car, you're driving up to the mountains, you put in a tape, if it's Torah or it's music, whatever it is, it's 2 hours of quiet. Nobody could reach you. That was 20 years ago. Nobody could reach you. You sat in your car, and you had your tape. Today, you're an uptight mishugana. You're on your phone, then the cop stops you because you're on your phone, so then you get the Bluetooth and the other tooth, so you're sitting there, and if you ever watch somebody drive on the highway, he's going 70 miles an hour, and he's talking to himself. I'm on the thruway, and you guys, everybody, not one guy, they're all... You have no life. You have no life. They took our life away. It's our, the phone is supposed to teach us that Hashem can listen to us and we can talk him one-on-one. What is it doing to us? What is it doing to us? 3 months ago, a guy flushed the toilet and he was talking to me. He forgot that he was talking to me. He was talking to me from the bathroom. The halacha says, you know, I'm talking in the bathroom. He's talking to me from the bathroom. Hello, go to the bathroom, then talk to me. He forgot, so he flushed the toilet. Don't tell me it didn't happen to you. Don't tell me you didn't flush the toilet. Do me a favor. No, it's very funny, but no. You can't go to the toilet. The animals, the cats are looking at us. Hey, I go to the toilet, I don't talk to nobody. The dog on the hydrant says, I don't talk to anyone when I go to the toilet. What are you humans doing? You go to the bathroom and you talk to someone? You eat and you talk to someone? You probably sleep and you talk to someone? It's very funny. Girls, you don't understand that we used to talk to each other. It used to be a time, 20 years ago, 30 years ago, when people used to talk to each other. Where you used to go into a bank and you used to talk to somebody. Today, the Yetzirah took that all away. Tchias HaMesim? Tchias HaMesim is take away all electronics. Okay, anyway, it's very late. So I just want to end with one little short story, because I have to give you a little Musar Erev Tisha B'Av, the 9 days. So we know that the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, very, very short. Beis HaMikdash was destroyed because of Sinas Chinam, because of people not caring about other people. People stepping on other people's, you know, the corporate ladder. We have to step on everybody's head to move up, right? That's also a nice concept. We'll talk about that another day. That if you step on the other girl's head, you can get to the next rung, the corporate ladder. We'll talk about the corporate ladder. But it was all Sinas Chinam. So I want to tell you an amazing story, 2 second story. So there was this great king, and there was a big fight. Are the Jewish kids smarter or the non-Jewish kids smarter? And the king, you know, the non-Jewish priest said, oh, they're much smarter. Our kids go to college, and our kids, you know, they're very educated, and they're much smarter. And the Jewish rabbi said, no, our kids are much smarter. So they said, okay, we're going to do a test. I'm sure many of you girls learned this in school, but I think it's just an amazing thing. So what do? They took 20 kids. They first took 20 non-Jewish kids. They put them in a room. They gave each one a bowl of soup. Each one sat in front of the bowl of soup. They gave each one a 8-foot-long spoon. And they said, the objective, what you have to do, is you have 5 minutes to eat your soup, and the team, Jews or non-Jews, who spills the least soup on the table is the winner. It's an amazing story. So, first go to 20 Goyim, they can sit down, and they have this crazy 8-foot spoon and a bowl of soup. And they're like, right? And there's soup flying all over the table, all over the place. Each guy, up, down. You can't get it in your mouth. It's an 8-foot spoon. And they're fighting, 20 minutes. And the rabbi's sitting there, and the priest is sitting there, and the king is sitting there. They're all sitting there. And these guys are trying soup all over their shirts, all over the floor, all over the table. Not one guy got a drop of soup in his mouth. Okay, finished. Okay, rabbi turns to his 20 guys. Now, there's no, he can't tell them what to do. He says, I would like, we have 613 mitzvot, and I want to talk to my boys for a second about our mitzvot. He says, Rabbi Akiva says, Zeh klal gadol b'Torah. What's the most important klal in the Torah? V'ahavta l'reacha kamecha. Love your friend as much as yourself. That is our Bible, everybody. That is our Torah. That would have saved us destruction. That we wouldn't need Mashiach if we would have understood v'ahavta l'reacha kamecha. Okay, so the priest is like, yeah, let's see what the Jewish kids do. Simple. Each guy took his spoon, filled up the soup, and fed the guy across from him. And everybody fed the guy across from him. And not one drop of soup was spilled. So in life, we all have to think, girls, that we have 12-foot-long hands. They're 12 feet long. and I can't do anything for myself. My hands are 12 feet long. I can only do for somebody else. That, if we understand that, that our hands, like the spoon, are here to feed the other one. And the other one's feeding me. And that one's feeding that one. That's Klal Yisrael. That's Achdus. And if we have that Achdus, there'll be no Tisha B'Av this year. There will be only Mashiach, and it'll be a Yontif. And Harei B'Yameinu Amen.